know on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, Central California. It's MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday special. It's going to be an open mic today, which means we're going to invite the callers to drive the topics. We have some suggested topics and a special guest today. So stay with us for the next 2 hours. I think you will enjoy yourselves.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
And who is the special guest? Who might that special guest be? Who might it be? Let's bring him on and say, welcome, special guest. Are you there?
I'm there. Hello, everybody in Radio Land.
I was hoping you would say that. That's great. Okay. You regular KSCO listeners will... listeners, that's a no pun intended. Regular KSCO listeners... will recognize Listener. That's the man. Robert Listener, my high school government teacher from the year of our Lord, 1967 into 68. And Bob and I, Bob is sort of, he has a more of a role in I and my family owning KSCO than he may realize. Because back in 1988, Bob and I did a talk radio program on AM 1080 KSCO called the Citizens for Planning Reform Talk Show. It was on Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m., and it was 2 hours of power-packed, passionate phone calls from people who had real-life horror stories about what happened to them when they tried to get a permit to build anything in the city or county of Santa Cruz. And again, that was back in 1988, and one thing led to another. That radio program got so hot to handle that finally we were kicked off, right, Bob?
That's my recollection.
Yeah, we were kicked off the air because it was just too controversial a program, and the then owner of the radio station was just getting too much heat from the government or whatever. And it just wasn't worth it for them to put up with all the headaches. And now that I'm on that side of the desk, I certainly understand what it's like to get heat from, you know.
This was a local government, you should add, Michael. It wasn't the national government that did this.
Well, that's right. And in fact, I don't know whether they actually buckled to pressure applied by the government, but I don't know. All I know is that one day we got a phone call, and we were told that we didn't have the show anymore. And that did it. That did it. You know, I had been kicked off of KSCO, you know, 20 something years before that for making a fart noise as a high schooler. Hey, what's going on there? What's that noise? Hello?
I have no idea.
That's a very strange noise that I just heard. Anyhow, yeah, I got kicked off. I had gotten kicked off once or twice before. And I decided that the only way to not be kicked off KSCO is to own the place. So that's what we did in 1991, and it's been almost 15 years. Anyhow, Bob, I've been wanting to have you on for quite a while because you're the guy who got me interested in, more than anybody besides my mom perhaps, got me interested in politics. And the first day of school... In 1967, as a senior at Santa Cruz High, you passed out a paper and asked everybody to write down what they hoped to get out of being, you know, in that class. And I wrote down...
American government's the name of the class.
Exactly. And I wrote down absolutely nothing. I'm only here because I have to be, and I wished I wasn't. But you ended up making that class probably the most interesting class and memorable class of my 4 years in high school. And I really salute you for that. And we never knew what your politics were because you made it a point to expose us to all points of view without making any kind of judgments or pronouncements, you know, one way or another. You just wanted us to make up our own minds but have exposure to all points of view.
It was very gracious of you to say that, Mike.
Well, but it's true. I mean, that's the way you were. Now, after I left, I understand you changed. And you want to tell us about that? You were telling me this morning a little bit about why you changed.
Well, I've always felt that one should be a political activist in addition to being in addition to stating your opinion at parties and other functions. So I ran for the Democratic Central Committee, which something people might not realize is an elective office. You don't get too much opposition to your candidacy in that particular position. But I ran as a Democratic Central Committee from the 1st Supervisorial District. And then I was elected chair of the committee in 1972. And so what happened was that the Central Committee placed an ad in the Santa Cruz Sentinel calling for the impeachment of Nixon. And as the Central Committee chair, I had to sign the be the representative. And I agreed with his impeachment.
Uh-huh.
And so then the fat was in the fire. So the kids at Santa Cruz High School knew what my politics were, but I always tried to be neutral in the classroom. And
well, the last week of my senior year, we knew what side of the political fence you were on, actually, because we went to a ACLU meeting and we saw your name on the board of directors for the ACLU, so we knew that you were a Libby then.
Well, I'm no longer a member of the ACLU, just to set the record straight on that. Not that it matters.
Why? No, I'm interested. Why not?
Well, I just don't. I'm just not the joiner that I used to be. And if I'm going to join another,
so it's not a statement of how the ACLU might not be the same ACLU that you thought you joined.
I agree with some of their positions, and some of them I don't. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Most I can say about the ACLU now, especially for those who oppose it, is a necessary evil.
Right. Okay, well, Bob, you and I have been friends for many years, and I think the world of you. You're a really bright guy. You have an incredible background in history, and as I said, in school, you were responsible for getting me interested in politics.
Well, I've always been a political junkie. It's kind of a hobby in addition to others I have.
But over the years, excuse me, you and I have sort of departed. You know, we parted company in our political beliefs. Now, I think locally, when it has to do with the planning department and all the grief you have to go through to get a permit to do anything, I think you and I are totally on the same page there. But you know, regularly, you and I have arguments about like our president, for example. You believe, I think you told me recently, that President Bush is the worst president that we've had, certainly in the 20th century, if not in our history.
That's correct. Maybe not in our history. Maybe U.S. Grant was worse.
Why do you feel that way about George Bush?
Well, for one, the most obvious issue was the war. We have no business being in Iraq. We should get out as soon as possible. Maybe I'm not going to set a deadline because I don't know what the deadline should be. But there was a book written in the early 1970s called The Making of a Quagmire. And it was about Vietnam. You could say the same thing about this war, I feel, except that maybe it isn't a quagmire, it's a sinkhole. We're in quicksand there. There are many implications as to why we're there. I feel that Iraq and Al Qaeda have little or no connection, have nothing to do with 9/11, and we should do something creative to get out of there. And I don't believe this administration has the creativity or the ability to do anything to either extricate us or to have some kind of a lasting peace or lasting development. So that's the way I feel about the war in Iraq.
Okay, well, that's
wrong about that.
That's the war, but I was asking, well, and I guess anything that we talk about having to do with our president is going to lead to a discussion of the war, I suppose.
Listen, I think we should support the troops. You know how we support the troops?
Yeah, okay. How do you support the troops?
Give them decent, take care of them when they come back.
Oh, yeah, which we didn't do with our Vietnam troops, right?
Apparently not. I support the troops. That means when they come back, they should get benefits. For example, don't cut their benefits like this administration is doing over the years. It's not. This isn't Bob Lisner talking necessarily. It's,
well, I want Bob Lisner to talk.
Let me name some other people who feel the way I do about that. My understanding is before he died, Colonel David Hackworth, who was the most decorated Vietnam veteran, felt the same way. Also, General Anthony Zinni, who I believe was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff as a representative of the Marine Corps and an expert on the Middle East, feels the same way. And there are a number of, and a local person that used to reside in Santa Cruz called David Tuno, who some might remember ran for supervisor.
Yeah, the person that he ran against used to call him Dave Tunno, which wasn't very nice, because he was a larger man.
Yes, that's right. Well, Dave was the most decorated airman in World War II, completely against the Vietnam War, completely against this war, and he's up on military affairs. So let's support the troops, which I've always done, by the way. And I can cite chapter and verse when people say, if you can't support the troops and be against the war, I disagree completely with that statement, because I've seen people who support the troops who supported John Kerry at the same time.
But how do you think the troops there feel knowing that there are so many people who don't support the war but say they support them? I mean,
I don't know how they feel. I have to concede that 80% of them voted for the president in the last election. That's fine. It'll be interesting to see how many of them feel that way when they came back. Like during Vietnam, the number of veterans came back from Vietnam, many of whom live in Santa Cruz, many of whom I know, were completely against the war in Vietnam and completely against this war.
Okay. All right. You're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special with our special guest, Robert Lisner, retired American government teacher and more recent political activist. You're not all that much of an activist
these
days, right?
I'm not much of an activist anymore, partly because due to my health. For one thing, I can't read newspapers or books anymore because I have macular degeneration. And I also have Parkinson's disease, which prevents me from doing things I used to do, which is walking precincts for political candidates. Many people call talk shows, which I've done enough of myself, who should become more active and get out there and find out what's going on locally, because as one of my mentors, Tip O'Neill, said, all politics are local. They don't realize that they can go to central committee meetings of the Republicans and Democratic parties, and technically the minor parties too, and find out what's going on. All they have to do to find out when they meet is to call the Board of Supervisors, 454-2200, and get the receptions, the Board of Supervisors, to link you up with the election department. You can find out who your central committee members are.
Yeah, it's interesting how people think that being politically active means calling a talk show.
Well, that's fine. Calling talk shows are fine. It's better than nothing. But the other thing that's important, I don't want to get off on a big tangent about this. The important thing is everybody should be encouraged to vote. I think it's deplorable that how many people voted in the last election? A small percentage. And you can make a difference when you vote, especially in local elections. Did you know that in one local election, I believe it was a Capitola City Council, one candidate won by one vote, one lousy vote?
I can believe that. I mean, that could certainly happen.
I think it was 2 years ago that this took place. Maybe it was 4 years ago. My memory isn't as good as it used to be. And I'm not as well informed as I used to be. And I have to stress that I don't have all the answers.
I think that we should consider a constitutional amendment whereby it would become a capital crime for someone not to vote, unless they had a good reason.
In Australia and New Zealand, you're fined if you don't vote.
Well, I'm talking about a law with more teeth than that. I'm talking about a capital punishment with the death penalty.
For not voting?
For not voting, right. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't mean to make light of a serious subject, but, you know, what the heck. Hey, we have another special guest, none other than Frau Ogle.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Frau Ogle.
Good morning. Good morning.
also known as Marila Ogle, who is my aunt,
yes,
who
indeed has
been on a number of times over the years, and it was high time we had you on again. Welcome back to the KSCO Saturday Special.
Good morning, Auntie.
Good morning. First the good news and then the bad news. I totally, totally agree with Mr. Listeners that it is shameful for the wealthiest nation in the world being so jaded and apathetic and self-involved that less than half of the registered voters ever vote. Now, I'm now here 51 years in America and 46 years a citizen, and not only have I voted for every, even the lousiest, the tiniest municipal election, but have been working actually at the polling booth sometimes as much as 10 hours, and I am, after all, now pushing 75.
I salute you for that, Auntie.
Yeah, well, that is the good news, where I totally agree with you. We should really, really get a misdemeanor. My darling natural comedian Mike Zwirling referred to the death penalty, but I think if it would be like running a stoplight, if it would be $50 or so, when people have no good excuse and say, oh, it's rainy, or let's go to Santa Cruz swimming, that is not a viable excuse to stay away from the polls. And then afterwards, everybody whines and complains how the election went. Nobody is happy that their favorites didn't get elected. And in the last two elections for our mayor, I've been walking my little legs off. Well, not too little, actually. They're fairly long. But I have been campaigning. But now comes the main thrust. I totally, totally disagree, Robert, that we should pull out of Iraq once we have done so. You were averring to Vietnam. It is exactly, precisely why we cannot do the second idiotic mistake. Now, my greatest charity, whenever I have a few bucks over, they all go to the Vietnam veterans, because I think it's a national shame how we treated the returnees. And I'm very happy, Robert, that you're going all in favor to treating them especially nice, decent, and possibly some monetary compensation for all the trauma and the dust and the heat and discouragement they surely must experience over there. But pulling out is like panicking. It's like a person who runs over a dog and saying, oh, nobody saw me. I'm just fleeing. And we all know what hit and run drivers get for a penalty. We cannot afford to leave now, because Iraq and Iran both are very, very key places in the world.
Excuse me, I did not say now. I didn't say right away.
Okay, but, you know, if you had only said that we should try to really, if Bush, by the way, I didn't vote for him, I'm a card-carrying libertarian, so I'm disappointed with both the Democrats and the Republicans, so sue me. But I do feel as long as we got rid of Saddam Hussein, and as long that there is almost civil war there, we cannot afford to suddenly betray all these wonderful soldiers and pull another Vietnam. And what it will get us is that this country will be swamped with maybe 200,000 Iraqi refugees, just like it was with Vietnam. Everybody who was in favor of the American liberation or of democratizing that miserable country will seek asylum here. So that is something you might not have thought about. But the main thing is that
Fox News Radio. We need to do something about that Fox News thing, Michael. Maybe you can just get rid of it. It's interrupting the radio program.
That we are dealing with a totally different mentality. Now, my husband always points out that Islam means obedience or complete obedience to a higher power. But who decides who the higher power is? The Ayatollahs? dear Robert listener, do you really want us to desert these two countries and possibly Afghanistan and leave them in the clutches of people who are even worse than the Shah ever was, religious fanatics, the Ayatollahs who decide what to wear, what to eat, where to pray, when to pray? We can't afford to have such a huge group of people there. And please, please remember what happened when Iraq declared war against the Iran, exactly like a religious war. And of course I'm upset that there are our boys dying, but do you realize how many hundred thousand people died in the Iraq-Irani war?
You brought up a number of things here.
You know, we have to keep these things in mind, that these people are for submission of personal freedom, or what America is totally based on. Once personal freedom goes, any trade, any research and development withers away, and we have another third world country, which, of course, everybody expects in America to financially support.
So it is a war of belief. Let me respond to some of these things.
Yeah, let him respond.
By all means.
Some of these things you said actually have something to do with the topic, and I salute you for that. First of all, you said, I did not say pull out immediately. We have to show some creativity in the administration. What you do is, first of all, you pull out gradually. I'm not going to mention a timetable where we pull out.
Go ahead.
The thing we do is we start training some of our capable people in Arabic and Farsi instead of firing people from the Army Language School who knew Arabic and Farsi.
Now you're talking.
Wait a minute. Just because they were gay. The next thing you would do, you would reallocate some of this money that goes into Iraq for homeland security, which is more important. There are something like 122 chemical plants that have no security in this country. So you do that. And then you get some kind of creativity and do what we did with the Dayton Accords, which is not a perfect solution in Yugoslavia, but it's certainly better than we have here. We get somebody in the, like Richard Holbrooke, who managed the Dayton Accords, who managed to do something with Yugoslavia, but we can't, possibly could be done with Iraq. There would certainly be problems, especially with the Kurds in the north, who are so close to Turkey. That would have to be worked out. But a person like Holbrooke might be able to work it out. There are other things that could be done, too. You mentioned Vietnam. Instead of concentrating on what we should have been done in Vietnam, what we should do is to follow the advice of General MacArthur, who was certainly no lefty. He called Lyndon Johnson to his deathbed, and he said, get the troops out of Vietnam. Previously, he recommended the same thing to President Kennedy. And there are people like General David Shoup, who was from the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Marine Corps, who said, oh, Southeast Asia isn't worth the life of one American soldier.
Uh-huh.
That's the way I almost feel about Iraq. Now, admittedly, Saddam Hussein is a brutal dictator, but we're very selective about which brutal dictators we support over there.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't we go ahead and bomb China? Why don't we invade China? Well, you know the answer to that. I don't have to tell you. So I think that what we're doing in Iraq, we're there now. I don't want to dwell about what we could have done in the past.
Yeah, not productive at all.
We've got to take steps to solve the problem. And I mentioned several ways that it could be done. Well, again, I'll repeat. We've got to understand I hesitate to use the word understand because that opens up a big can of worms. We have to understand. We have to start training people in Arabic and Parsi.
Mm-hmm.
We have to improve our intelligence capability, which apparently has been lacking. One of the reasons we're in Iraq today is possibly either because of faulty intelligence or because the administration didn't listen to some of the intelligence reports.
Now you're talking. Yes.
We could have prevented 9/11 5 weeks before it took place because we were warned about the fact that it was going to happen. Now, let's get back to Iraq again. Again, I'm going to be repetitive, and I apologize for that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start thinking about maybe dividing the country. I'm not saying this is one. This is just one solution. Maybe it's a bad one. Into areas like we did in Yugoslavia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now you have one area for the Kurds, and of course we'd have to get the Turks on board for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Sunnis, of course, which could be a problem. And then, of course, the Shiites in the south. And I share your concern about Iran.
It sounds like you're talking about our country, Bob.
What?
Yes.
It sounds like you're talking about our country, except the division is not quite geographically discernible.
Well, yeah, but that could change, too, in the next election. You never know about these things. I quit predicting American elections when I predicted that Dewey would beat Truman. But there's a lot of things that can be done. And, by the way, Mike mentioned that I was a government teacher. I haven't been a government teacher for 22 years, and I can't, I'm not computer savvy, so I can't get as much information as I ordinarily could have. Since I have macular degeneration, I can't read, but I try to keep up on things. And I should mention that I'm no longer in education. I've been in business for the last 22 years. I wanted to clear that up. Go ahead, Frau.
Oh, well, maybe Frau has nothing to say at this point. We do have callers.
I am delighted that I flushed out that I got him angry enough to say some feasible solutions, because I am not so much of a complainer, but very much, you know, into progression, into solutions, and finding something. Everybody can complain.
So well, we haven't invited phone callers yet.
I am delighted because he brought up some very good points, especially how the CIA and the FBI are in this petty sibling rivalry, I call it, and instead of training people, like he said, in Farsi, and really getting some qualified people instead of just good-natured idealists or tough soldiers, both of them are not enough, obviously, to clean up the Iraqi mess. But now we want to hear from you, Mike.
Okay, well, I want to go to our callers. We haven't even invited callers yet, but we have several on the line. We have Thor in Monterey, who will be our first caller. Thor, welcome to the Saturday special with MZ and Mr. Listener and Frau Ogle.
Good morning. Can
hey.
You hear me?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Good, good, okay. Yeah, first off, I want to kind of disagree with what you're saying about mandatory voting and all that. These things we're doing, like motor voter and all that, I kind of have a little bit of a problem with that, because I think that people that vote should want to vote. That, you know, I'm hoping that people that do vote take the time and study the issues and the candidates.
You realize that I was only kidding when I said the death penalty should be
voted.
You
realize
that, right?
Okay, I was. I definitely agree that you were kidding on that. But
well, caller brings up a good point there. I'm glad you said that, caller.
Yeah, and the other thing too is I tend to be a you know, fairly right of center conservative, not totally right wing, but definitely right of center. But I'm getting very frustrated with the Bush administration, and I'm almost at the point that if there's a petition going around to impeach the president, that I might even want to sign something like that.
Why do you think Bush should be impeached?
Well, first off, I'm really concerned about the illegal alien problem. And, you know, here we have Colorado and Arizona declaring states of emergency. We have Fabian Nunez, who I was really surprised to hear this. He's trying to get the Governor Schwarzenegger to declare a state of emergency for California. And I think that if there's another, like, 9/11-style terrorist attack, I wouldn't be surprised if they could trace some of the terrorists that have committed such a thing and would probably have come through the border
illegally. No question.
Yeah, and they're not. Bush isn't doing anything about it. In fact, it seems like he's, you know, purposely looking the other way on that, and I'm not sure yet really what his motivations are, but...
What's your name, caller?
Thor.
What?
Thor, T-H-O-R.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in Monterey.
You know what you might do, and I suggest this earlier, and it's your own business, of course, find out when your Democratic and Republican Central Committees meet, because you brought up some good points, and they should hear what you have to say.
Sure.
And I kind of agree with you about voting. If people don't want to vote, that's something that they shouldn't be dragged screaming to the polls to do, because they can be educated as to the issues.
Exactly.
There's a publication called the Almanac of American Politics, which is put out by the National Journal, which has every congressman, every senator, every state, every congressional district, and it goes into the demographics and the geographics and the voting records, which is important, of every congressman and senator. You might be able to get this at a bookstore. Otherwise, if you're computer savvy, you can get this information online. So who is your congressman?
Yeah, I think my congressman is, on the federal level, is Sam Farr.
Well, it's easy to call his office, and I've called his office on several occasions. He used to be my congressman. And to find out how he voted and why he voted, the person in the office will be glad to give you that information.
Yeah, one thing I think that would be really helpful is if there was more opportunity to get the issue out to the voters and show the...
Hey, Thor, you must be on a cell phone. You're fading.
Okay, I'll pick the landline
I
up.
I couldn't understand a word.
I can hear that. Okay, this is better.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, if they had some kind of... they did more, I know a lot of candidates don't like doing debates and all that. And sometimes that may be a little unfair if you have, you know, one person that's real slick that may not have as good a position on things, and another person says maybe not as good of a public speaker or whatever, that, you know, they may come out in the wrong way. But
yeah, people elect slick, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if there was some way that the various positions and such that the candidates had was made available to the voters. The same thing with the propositions and such. If they had, like, you know, something that was more sort of in the, you know, legal language, because that's my frustration too with a lot of the initiatives, is you look at these things and you hear the arguments from one side and the other side, and it's like, well, what's the truth about this?
I don't know if the California Journal is still published or not, but there used to be a magazine called the California Journal that during the time that you voted on the proposition that very adequately explained what each proposition entailed, and it was in fairly simple language.
Yeah, one of the things I looked at was the League of Women Voters usually has a
excellent
something on that, and the nice thing about that is they give pro and con arguments, and you know, kind of looking at that, at least you can kind of say, okay, well, here's someone against, here's someone against or for it.
There you go.
Kind of try to feel where you fit in.
Okay. Hey, Thor, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. There goes Thor in Monterey. By the way, if you want to give us a call, it's 479-1080 or 477-1340. The area code is 831. If you're outside the area code, it's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. It's your favorite show on the favorite radio station, the Saturday special with MZ and Mr. Listener and Frau Ogle today, discussing the war and how good our president is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We've got Mike in Santa Cruz and Cal in Salinas on the phone lines, and room for you. We've got open lines at both 479-1080 or 477-1340. If you want to participate in this Saturday special, give us a call at either of those lines. You can also shoot us a fax if you want to do that. It's 475-2967, our fax line. Or, better yet, shoot an email to me, mz@ksco.com. I've got a second computer screen I'm looking at, so I'm looking at the email box in real time here. 20 minutes remain in this hour number one of the two-hour KSCO Saturday special. We will be going to a commercial break right after we take the phone call from Mike in Santa Cruz, who has been waiting for 25 minutes and 43 seconds. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Good morning. And
hey.
What a pleasure it was to hear Mr. Listener's voice. I was a student of his.
I don't know. Are you? Do you have your radio on?
No.
Okay, well, we're getting some feedback. Maybe we're driving it too much, but we might have to drop you after all that, but go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, my name is Mike Foster, and I was a student of Mr.
What was your last name again?
Foster.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
Your dad's Ted Foster.
Yes.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. You were an inspiring teacher, but I must say I did know where your politics were from the very first class.
You must have graduated after 1968, Mike.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
But it wasn't like pounded on you, but I could tell. And he was a wonderful teacher and very inspiring.
You were a great student, Mike.
Thank you. And I actually received an award when I graduated, the Bank of America Award in Social Studies, and I figured that Mr. Listener was probably one of the reasons I got it. But at any rate, I was very pleased with that. He and Charmin.
How are your two brothers doing?
I actually have three, and they're all doing very well. All live in Santa Cruz.
Great. Glad you stuck around.
And but, you know, I was a moderately liberal person when I was in high school because I had a mother who was vehemently anti-war. And I did read The Making of a Quagmire at the suggestion of Mr. Listener. And but as time went on, it took about a year out of high school, out of college, for me to become a pretty staunch Republican. Sorry to say, Mr. Listener.
That's pretty early, Mike. Wow.
It didn't take long. I just thought Jimmy Carter was the biggest bumbling fool that had ever hit the political scene, and I think he just makes
that's exactly right.
And I think he makes such an ass of himself today, trying to create a better legacy for himself, because he was just
wasn't he the president who gave away the
Panama Canal?
Yeah.
I just felt that with Carter we hit such a low point. And
hey, Bob, please comment. Excuse me, Mike. I got to hear what Bob has to say.
My understanding about the Panama Canal treaties is Panama Canal's so-called giveaway, but we had a treaty with the Panamanians at one time where we may have had to done, that's my recollection, I could be wrong, it was called the Hay-Horan Treaty or the Hay-Bonavaria Treaty, I don't remember which, one was Colombian, one was with Panama, but I don't completely disagree with what Mike.
Surely you don't think that
I might mention to Mike also that I haven't turned Republican, but I've moved sort of toward the center on local issues.
Oh, and a lot of your local ex-brethren hate your guts now because of it.
Not a lot of them. Some of them do.
I've read your letters over the years, and you were never a left-wing crazy. You were what I would call a sensible Democrat, in my opinion, and one that where you could explain your position, and I understood why you took the position you took. I never have a problem with that, and but I think that the times have changed. But what I thought was so great when you were as a teacher is that you took an issue and really turned it inside out and really got into it so that everybody could understand it, regardless of their political leaning.
I wish I could do that today, but
you were terrific, and I truly one of
my. Were you, Mike?
Really one of my favorite teachers of all times, and I.
Yeah, it's too bad that we all couldn't have had Bob as a government teacher. Yeah.
Again, the other one I had, who I thought was also very inspiring, was Charmin Nash.
Charmin. She was a great person and a great teacher.
She was terrific. But that's all I wanted to say. It was really good to hear
you. We're happy you said it. We will, and do call again on the Saturday special. That was Mike in Santa Cruz. Here comes Cal in Salinas. Cal, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just want to comment here. I used to be a soldier in the National Guard until fairly recently. And
I applaud your service.
Thank you very much, sir, but I have to disagree with you, and I think the majority of the troops do not support what you're saying because...
That's true.
Well, I'm just reflecting them and probably from the heart from what they're saying. But I'll tell you right now, I'm in... in California, visiting from Michigan, and as a result of, you can probably tell that my politics are fairly towards the right of center, I didn't feel my vote was going to count here in California, so I ended up changing my residency over to Michigan. Not only that, because I felt that was more of a chance for me to get my voice heard, because California is fairly to the left of center, and I think it's going to be locked in that thing for an indefinite amount of time. But the big question is this. Since you mentioned about the war and how much you're so against it, and you're making allegations as to the implications of us being there, and there was no reason why we ought to be there, which, by the way, I disagree, but that's another reason why I called. If we do, theoretically, pull our troops out of Iraq and let the cards fall where they may, where do you think that's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen to the United States with regards to terrorism? Regards to any of the things that you're trying to foment, will we stay here? Do you think things are peace going to come around again, or is it going to start even bring a lot hotter for us once we leave the region? Your comment, sir.
Well, most of the terrorists you talk about seem to be in Iraq. Since we didn't have those terrorists before the war, or very few of them, before we went in there, I like to call what's going on in Iraq what Ross Perot called a big sucking sound. We've sucked all the terrorists into Iraq, and it's been a breeding ground for terrorists where formerly they weren't there. And so,
and they're not here, thank God.
Oh, sorry, yeah, but
they're
they're
over there, and they're not here. What we should be doing is thinking, as I mentioned earlier, about internal security here. For example, there's very little security for the cargo holds on ships, is something that I heard. And also in ports, we should probably take about maybe three-fourths of the money we spend overseas on Iraq and use it for homeland security here. In the meantime, I'm getting repetitious, of course, and I agree with you about the troops, but a lot of them change when they come home. It happened during the Vietnam War. I could cite many veterans who are in Vietnam who live in Santa Cruz. We're against the war, so I think the veterans community, once they come home, is split. I could be wrong about that.
I think you're going to be wrong about that, because this is not the quagmire, and this is just my opinion.
It's worse.
It's not worse. As a matter of fact, it's a lot better if you take a look at the, I hate to use the word the casualty count, but apparently it's not as great as you think it is. As a matter of fact, if you want to know where I'm heading with this, those people over there, as far as the terrorists is concerned, and by the way, there are terrorists, you're correct. People coming over the border from Syria and Iran are trying to go over there with the discontented people who, by the way, I believe are the minority under Zarqawi. Okay, they happen to be the minority, but they're trying to scare the population by using those roadside bombs. And by doing that, what they're doing is scaring the population here, there, and also over here. And all you hear, because the press here in the United States is so against the war, that they're going to continue to take a look at the bad side of the situation. They're focusing mostly on the casualties. They're not telling you about the good things, that the schools are being built up, that there is, by the way, a constitution being formed. There's all these other good things that are happening. You're going to be seeing it's basically silent.
When I hear people attack the press like that, and for a long time the press didn't say anything about this, you seem to be the type of a person that wants to shoot the messenger. I mean, they've kept it from us for a long time concerning the casualties.
No, sir, you're misquoting me. I'm just telling you, I didn't say shoot the press.
No, you said the media.
But I'm trying to tell you this.
You said the media, didn't you?
I definitely did, and I'm trying to tell you this is what they're saying. If you take a look, on balance, what's happening with these papers around here, with the media, the majority of them are geared towards the left of center.
Well, that's
as a result, you're going to have a skewed amount of information against the war.
You're making an allegation of a broad swipe here.
I think I can pretty much support that.
Well, maybe for a long time the press and the media didn't say anything about how terrible it was in Iraq. For the first time, they're beginning to show.
No, sir. Look, ever since the bombs started going off in Baghdad, the press has been there to get gory detail about the type of bombs they're using, the roadside bombs, the nails.
What's wrong with that? Don't we have a right to that information?
Oh, you know what? You're fine. And I support that completely. But you know the problem is with that? There's no balance on that thing. That's one of the reasons why you have these oppositions and you have talk radio, KSEO, having such a popularity because they give another side of the story.
Cal, so you're not just visiting relatives. You used to live here, right?
That's correct. Sir, I went to North Salinas High School.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I went to college in Hartnell Community College. Went to Cal Poly State University. Got my degree in electrical engineering and English.
They kicked me out of the third grade because I wouldn't shave. You said something about the troops are being supportive of our policy. That may be true, and I support the troops, and my record shows it. Let me mention something about that. If we support the troops so much, let's take care of when they come home, and let's not cut the budget for veterans.
Well,
and closing veterans' hospitals and not giving soldiers the amount of money to travel home. When I got out of the service in World War II, they took care of us.
Oh, no. I've made a terrible mistake. Bob?
I'm still here.
I know. We hadn't heard from Frau Ogel in a while, so I pushed the Frau Ogel button.
I wish I could. I wish I could. There are several things this guy said that I wish I could have had the opportunity.
Well, he'll. I hope he'll call back. I hope Cal will call back. But we hadn't heard from Frau Ogel, so I pushed the Frau Ogel button.
Okay.
And by doing that, I disconnected Cal. It was terrible.
I want to congratulate Cal. I would like to take all my 56 hats off for him. Nobody but my husband has such identical views about just every detail he said, and I hope he hears that there are some people who really admire his thorough thinking.
Oh, I hope Cal will call back, too.
I blame the media. The left-wing press is so unbalanced. And no, Bob, I don't believe that you should hide things like the coffin deal and all, but it has to be balanced. We have to concentrate on the good or the bad, or we are like those vicious divorces where everybody throws ghastly mud at each other and forgets how much they initially loved each other.
You're making a hypothesis here.
We are over there to help the people.
Hypothesis here that I want to be proven that the press is biased and the media is biased. I know one thing, if you want to talk about the media, they take people like Bill Donahue off and put Joe Scarborough on NBC. If you want an example.
But you can't always concentrate just on the death rate. My husband yesterday pointed out something.
What do you mean by left wing? Define your terms, Frau. What's left wing? What do you consider to be left wing?
No,
he said death. She said death rate.
Right wing.
Oh, no, I'm
trying
sorry.
To be balanced.
Mm-hmm. Well,
by the way, Cal is back.
Oh, good. I hope he heard my accolade. I really admire him.
And so do I. And maybe Bob does, too, but
well, I don't agree with what he says, but I'll defend to the death his right to say it.
But you can admire him without agreeing with him, right?
He's involved, but I'd like to take him on a little bit more. Go ahead, Cal.
Hi, how's it going again?
You know what? I'm going to put you all on hold while we do the commercial, else there won't be any show left at all. We got to do commercials
right,
for the people. Hey, Michael, are you there? I hope Michael is there
so he can
play the commercials. Good. Yeah, play the commercials, please.
Can I go to the bathroom, Mike?
Yeah, you
Hooray
go to the bathroom.
For Cal. Hooray for Cal.
Don't let your meatloaf. Okay, here we go. We'll be back in a few minutes, gang.
Okay.
Monterey Bay from Bobby, one of our listeners.
I always listen to Good Morning Monterey Bay at 6 and 9 a.m. Monday through Thursday. We do shows on Friday, too. It has Susan Simon, Wendy R., Scott Free with comedy and wisecracks every now and then. We have King of the Hill traffic, best in local sports and local news. The whole program's sweet. We have Rosemary Chalmers, the German lady from Australia. I'm not sure how that works, but it seems like something happened. We have Celebrity Gossip with Jeff Gallipo, Steve Keel with the movie reviews, interesting guest special reports, Abel Maldonado, Assemblyman John Laird. This Day in History at 6 and 7, birthdays at 8 o'clock. Rocky Snyder with the Super Report. Rick Orlando's restaurant, New World's Home Cooking in Socrates, New York. The whole program, sweet. I'm Bobby, and I'm listening to Good Morning Monterey Bay on KSCO. I have a small speech impediment. Raccoons chewed out my tongue. I gotta go to the dentist now to see if I can get this fixed. Bye!
Hello, all you beautiful people. This is your friend, Judy DeVilbiss. I would like to speak to you about some red warning lights. When you see a school bus, this bus stops, the red lights flash. That means stop. School bus, red flashing lights, stop. When you get up in the morning and you have an ache in your neck, achy fingers, a sore back, those are red lights flashing at you. Well, I want you to stop exactly what you're thinking and what you're doing. Pick up the phone and call me at 888-352-7500 and let me help you stop your red light from flashing. Now remember, two safety tips. School bus, red lights flashing, stop. Achy neck, achy joints, any aches and pains, stop. Pick up the phone and call me, 888-352-7500. That's 888-352-7500. Do it now.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet's been serving the Monterey Bay since 1994 with high-quality, affordable internet service. We have modem coverage for all of California and web-based email, so you can check your email from any internet connection in the world. Our spam filtering and virus protection services will keep your inbox free from unwanted messages. GotNet specializes in providing high-quality, fast, friendly customer support. We're here 7 days a week to serve you. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
Do you like pets? Are you a pet fanatic? We've got a segment of Good Morning Monterey Bay just for you. It's Pet Talk with Angeline Siegel, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. Learn about puppies and kittens, vacationing with your pet, exercise, the best thing to feed your animal, and other issues like dealing with a senior dog. These are just some of the topics that Angeline will address during Pet Talk, brought to you by Callie's Whole Pets. That's Tuesday mornings at 7:45 during Good Morning Monterey Bay.
Hello, this is Tom Quinn, the host of Perspectives Radio Show. Every Saturday at noon, we give you cutting-edge news about current events. We interview well-known experts on a variety of issues, so listen in this Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives. Thank you.
Running, jumping, climbing stairs, things you take for granted until joint pain makes everyday activities unbearable. But you don't have to live with joint pain. Here's pharmacist Ben Fuchs to explain why.
Foods that cause the blood pH to drop into the acidic level will cause joint degeneration. So by alkalinizing the blood, you can help reduce joint degeneration. There's also supplements that you can take that can allow the body to rebuild cartilage. Most famous one, of course, is glucosamine. It can help the body rebuild cartilage. And this has been proven in numerous scientific studies that you can take glucosamine orally. You can take it into your mouth. It'll go into your digestive system, and it will go into your cartilage to help your cartilage rebuild itself. Remember, cartilage serves an important role in joint function. Cartilage has got a jelly-like nature that allows lubrication of the ends of the joints and acts as a shock absorber as well. Glucosamine, by the way, can help support collagen in the blood vessels as well. So you can help support the blood vessels that feed the heart and the blood vessels throughout the body by taking glucosamine supplements. Glucosamine supplements can also improve collagen production in the skin, so you can help minimize wrinkles with glucosamine supplements. Glucosamine sulfate can also be used to help rebuild cartilage. The glucosamine supplements have a multiple range of benefits for improving health.
Containing 100% beef gelatin, glucosamine sulfate, chondroitin sulfate, and manganese, the building blocks for bone matrix, cartilage, ligaments, tendons, and connective tissue, American Longevity's Ultimate Glucogel is the ultimate source for healthy joints. And at $17.50 a bottle wholesale, you'll be building up your joints without tearing down your finances. Give your joints the support they need with American Longevity's Ultimate Glucogel.
To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
And back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
And do you realize there are only 13 seconds left in this hour?
If
we go back to the phone lines, it would be rude to the caller because we'd have to only let him on for about a second and a half. So this is KSCO Santa Cruz back in 6 minutes. Stay with us.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Carton.
Hey, Michael, are you going to be with us for the next hour?
I think I will be.
Good, good. Okay, now, it has come to my attention during the break that, this is actually pretty upsetting. We have reason to believe that there are some stupid people who have tuned into KSCO.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and that is not permitted.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
And that is going to be your only warning, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
okay,
hello,
so you know who you are.
I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
I'm sorry, I'm losing my patience. We do not put up with anybody other than intelligent people listening to KSCO at any time of the day or night. Is that understood?
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Oh, radio.
you forget it. Welcome to hour number two of your favorite radio station, KSCO. Ah, come on, all the computers. I'm trying to unplug one thing and plug it into another here. All right, welcome to hour number two of the KSCO Saturday Special. We're having a relatively spirited discussion between two exceptionally intelligent people, Frau Ogel and Herr Listener, about the war and the wisdom of pulling out. And should we be pulling out, or should we even be thinking about pulling out? Another topic that I've wanted to bring up, forgive me, I kid around a lot, but I'm serious now. I'm not advocating this, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm curious to know, and I want to put this out, what would it take, how bad would it have to be for the U.S. to do the unthinkable? Okay, what's the unthinkable? To drop the A-bomb somewhere, okay? How bad would it have to? I don't think there is anybody within the range of my voice who will disagree that President Truman made the right decision when he dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, okay? I realize it's unthinkable, but I'd like to put that out, and I want you to ponder it, and I want you to call us during the second hour. And let us know. We're going to step up the pace of the discussion here in the second hour, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people calling in to tell us what it would take, how bad would it have to be before you think that we should drop an A-bomb somewhere, okay? And tell us where, and tell us why. Real interested in that. Okay, our guests are Frau Ogel and Robert Listener. Let's bring them both back on. Okay, Bob, are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay. Frau Ogel, a.k.a. Marila, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I would have a question to Bob. If he can get away from the A-bombs for one moment.
Sure,
I
sure.
want to see, because I'm really impressed at his mental faculties. We are both elderly, but...
very, very, very old. Both of you are very, very old.
Does Bob anticipate of Monday's very, very important constitution being hammered out by those argumentative with each other, not just with us, but divided between the Shiites, Sunnis, and even
Kurds.
Farther up north, beleaguered Kurds. Yes, the Kurds. So, Bob, what do you anticipate will actually happen? Will it be a stalemate? And then there are unfortunately provisions that we have to have a new election. Or will they, for the sake of their tragic country, pull together and hammer out a constitution? I'd really love to hear your views on that. Are you there, Bob?
I'm there. Can I speak now?
Yes. Okay. I'm waiting.
There are no easy answers to that, but one of the things I would be concerned about is the fact, and I understand this is what's going on now, but in the post-constitution, there's a removal of women's rights in it. Maybe it's a Shiite influence.
Uh-huh.
Wish I had more information on that. I would like the constitution to work. I would like the present government of Iraq to be able to come up with some kind of representative government. I would hope that I hope that I'm wrong and that you and Cal are right.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be very concerned about the fact that women's rights are being removed from the constitution, or not even close to Shiite influence. So that would be my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, we're going to bring Cal on for just a minute here because he's still with us. And we're just going to finish up with Cal. Then we're going to go on to Kay's latest commentary for a couple minutes, okay? So stay with us. Cal, you're on.
Okay, thanks
okay.
very much, by the way.
Yeah, you wanted to finish up here.
Okay, yeah, I'll quickly finish up. And Fry went ahead and I heard your comments. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Okay, but just a quick thing about the press again. Or maybe I had there's still that section.
Unfortunately, we lost Frau Ogel. So, hey, Michael, do you have her phone number?
Actually, I don't.
Okay. I don't want to give it over the air. This is awful.
Maybe.
Okay.
Type it into the.
I'll type it into the thing here.
Studio
okay.
chat.
Okay. Yeah, into studio chat. How do you do that? Okay, I think
type
I figured
it. Right
here we
send
go.
Button there.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Cal. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you mentioned about the. This is for Mr. Listener. About the what happened, and you're correct about talking about bolstering the. Homeland Security side of the house. Here's the danger which I see if we abandon Iraq midstream. If that occurs, what's going to happen is you're essentially going to have another Afghanistan before the war. In other words, a Taliban style or whatever is going to, a lawless society, which is going to be another breeding ground for another terrorist state. And this is we're going to have the same thing all over again. And you thought 9/11 was a bad thing. Let Iraq go, and you're going to find that that's going to be a lot more costly than us being in there right now.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
Remember you used to say in the old Citizens for Planning Reform days, people are more important than salamanders?
Yep.
Okay. The U.S. is more important than Iraq. Sorry, I don't mean to be politically incorrect, everybody out there who's shocked and aghast at what I just said, but the U.S. is more important than Iraq. Would you agree with that, Bob?
Yes.
Good.
That's why I take the position I do. One of the things that I bring to mind is when Bush first ran in 2000, he said we shouldn't engage in nation building, and that's exactly what we're doing today. I can only repeat what I said at the beginning. By the way, Cal, I salute your service. One of the things that we should be doing is trying to bring other nations into the picture like we did in Yugoslavia, where we didn't lose any American lives, as far as I remember, maybe one or two in accidents, and bring in some careful diplomacy. Again, I'm being repetitive. What you do is bring in a person like Richard Holbrook, who engineered the Dayton Accords, and maybe this wouldn't work in Iraq. Maybe we shouldn't balkanize Iraq, but it should be explored. At the same time, I'm not for an immediate pullout, Cal, and I'm not going to give you a timetable, but there should be some kind of a gradual pullout, because it's like General Shoup said about the Vietnam War, all of Southeast Asia isn't worth the life of one American soldier. The whole Middle East isn't worth the life of one American soldier. That's the way I feel, and you can accept that or reject it.
Well, okay, I'll have to say that we disagree, because when you said, Bush said, we should reject nation building as far as 2000. There's one factor that you didn't count on. It's a pretty big factor.
Which
see,
is?
He made that statement in 2000. Guess what happened in 2001? And what we're trying to do right now, and however you want to take a look at it, is we are engaging in nation building of hopefully ridding that country of terrorism or becoming a terrorist hotbed right now.
I'd like to feel you're right and I'm wrong. Let me respond to what you said about my comment about nation building. As far as nation building is concerned, what we could have done, we according to, and you're not going to like what I have to say because I'm going to quote a man called Richard Clark, who was our number top terrorist expert. He said that we could have stopped what happened in 2001 because we had the intelligence that it was going to happen 5 weeks
ago. Is he that weasel who turned on the president?
Yes, he is.
Okay,
well,
that's what I thought.
When Cal was shooting the messenger.
Okay, go ahead.
He happens to be right. He took issue with the Clinton administration, too. He didn't really leave anybody off the hook. And then, whether you think he's a weasel or not.
He is a weasel, no question about it.
I'm sorry that you have to use that broad swipe and engage in name-calling, Mike, because that doesn't get us anywhere. Because I didn't call George Bush a weasel or Don Rumsfeld or anybody like that.
They're not weasels. They're great men.
Yeah, okay. They may be great men, but they're taking this country down the primrose path. But anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, I can only be repetitive. We need some creative diplomacy as well as keeping our military options intact. And Mr. Clark, of course, has spent a lot of time on the whole issue of terrorism. And I kind of would believe what he has to say. Because once we get up to the position where the president is in charge, and the president, of course, has his and his people rejected what he had to say about the terrorist attack 5 weeks before it happened. And he's responsible, as Harry Truman said, if you can't stand the buck stops here.
If you can't stand the buck, get out of the heat.
Yeah, if you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. So he has to take some of the blame for this.
Okay, well, I here's the situation with Richard Clark, and I'm not going to try to shoot any messages or anything like that.
That's good.
From what I gather, and this is, I think there's a little bit more credibility as far as this is concerned. He did this because at the time that he was making those statements against the president, or I should say we had intelligence, he was writing a book. And I think he was...
He had written a book and was selling it.
Yeah, and that, by the way, if you were to take that in a larger context, that's almost like a conflict of interest. Now...
Totally. And Bob should understand that because he's a very intelligent man.
If he was doing that, I would agree with what Cal is saying, but he...
That's what he was doing.
You can still write a book and state his position on policy at the same time.
He was saying outrageous things to get attention and to get rich, and he did.
Okay, but
there's nothing wrong with that. You're very fond of money yourself, Mike.
Yeah, but here's a bigger picture.
Let me finish what I'm saying. You can do two things at the same time, not like Gerald Ford was allegedly doing. He can chew gum and walk at the same time. So anyway, I don't see if he was... A lot of people write books. Maybe he was taking notes while he was in the White House. But I wouldn't rely on Richard Clark. There are others who take the same position that I've heard. My understanding is General Anthony Zinni was one of them. Yeah. And when Colonel David Hackworth is another one.
Okay, here's
not just Richard Clark.
Yeah, but Bob, you said I'm very fond of money myself. You said, MZ, you're very fond of money. You're absolutely right. I am very fond of money, but damn it, I'm honest about it.
That's right. Okay.
And not like that weasel.
Just as a closing thing, folks, and I just want to just put
well,
this
in mind. Well, I support that weasel. Excuse me, Cal. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, here's a situation. If you think about this whole entire discussion that we're having, it's all based on a post-9/11 mindset. Now, if you were to go back September 10th and before, how would you guys be thinking right now? I mean, look, we have...
He's still a weasel. Anybody who turns on somebody who bites the hand that feeds him is a weasel and is a skunk, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, but
what do you think about... Let me ask you this, Mike. What do you think about someone who changes political party in the middle of an election?
That's okay. They're not stabbing them. They're not biting the hand that fed them.
You say the same thing about the...
I've actually changed political parties. I changed from Democrat to Republican and felt like a fool that I was a Democrat as long as I was.
You're saying you'd say the same thing, then, about this fellow who... what was his name? I've lost my train of thought on this. But there's somebody... People change their minds all the time. A lot of people change their mind about the Vietnam War.
It's a question of loyalty. You should be loyal to the person that you should be loyal to.
Well,
it's as simple as
that. Way about the person who blew the whistle on the Watergate plumbers too, I suppose.
Yeah, but we're kind of getting off the beaten path. But think about it.
Just a minute.
Yeah, actually, Cal would be a good host. Let's let him be the host, and we'll just be the guests.
Okay, here's what we're taking a look right now. We recently had something about the Able Danger controversy, in which there was some Army intelligence that actually had a snapshot of the at least four terrorists, I forgot what the count was. They're involved in the 9/11 thing, and if you really think about it, who would ever think that they were actually going to fly airplanes into two buildings in New York? Now, the Clinton administration back then, who was in charge of the situation, should have taken to that thing, and unfortunately, they dropped the ball. I mean, as a matter of fact, they dropped the ball twice, starting with the 93. Many times, the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center, the bombing of the USS Cole, and the bombings in Kenya, and this final thing with Able Danger before they finally got a wake-up call in 2001.
This may surprise you, but I agree with what you're saying, and Richard Clark doesn't let the Clinton administration off the books either.
Yeah, but...
off the hook either.
But
everybody screws up. All I'm saying is... Does the president administration have to bear some responsibility for what happened on 9/11?
Not to the gravity that the previous administration had done, because the bulk of all the intelligence, the bulk of all the meat of the reason why we're here today is that if you were given 5 months worth of preparation, and there's a ramp-up time that you have to have between administration to administration, trying to say that, well, in equal parity, both administrations should share the blame. I have to disagree, because you figure, how long was Clinton in office? I mean,
yeah.
You talk
Everybody has heard the story that Clinton could have accepted Bin Laden's head on a silver platter. However, I was talking to someone earlier this week who blew me away. I mean, his name is Tom Quinn, and he does the program Perspectives after this program today. I don't know if Tom will be in today or whether Donald will be doing the program as he generally does. But one of the things Tom said to me, he says, "Hey, MZ, do you believe that Kennedy was assassinated by Oswald exclusively?" And I said, "No, I do not believe that." And he says, "Well, why do you believe that Bin Laden was the mastermind behind 9/11? That's just what the government is telling us." And you know what? I didn't know what to say.
It's kind of odd. I do have to make one more comment. As far as the terrorists, and we're talking about the press, how they influence not only what's happening here at home, but what's happening abroad. Osama bin Laden made a bunch of comments during the 2004 presidential campaign, just on the eve of the election, if you recall. I mean, he was actually, by himself, through Al Jazeera, whoever cronies that he's worked with, he actually tried to sway the election by saying some pretty interesting things in the hopes that Kerry would get elected. You recall that thing, too. So don't think that anything that we do as far as the press is concerned over here is going to go unnoticed by the enemy, because they're going to.
Right. I don't think that for a second. Cal, thanks very much for your participation today. Appreciate your call. There goes Cal in Salinas. I'm MZ. Bob Listener is with us. So is Frau Ogle. I'm going to lock Frau Ogle in this time. Are you there, Frau Ogle?
Indeed, I am.
Okay.
I'm still in awe of all what Cal of Michigan has to say. I really applaud somebody of the younger generation who thinks for himself.
Well, here's somebody from the older generation coming up who I have a funny feeling is going to upset you. I could be wrong, but we'll try. Okay. Billy Sunshine.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Cal, boy, you drank the Kool-Aid and you liked it. Every word out of that boy's mouth was buying, I think, what I would call the lies of the chimpanzee. Okay? So first of all, I'm calling.
Are you calling our president a monkey?
Are you calling somebody a weasel?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm calling your president a chimpanzee. And, you know, the fact is that he's a lying chimpanzee. You know, maybe I'm wrong about it. Is he the most truthful president we ever had? Mike? Frau? Anybody?
Well, would you want me to answer that?
Well, look, first of all, Bob, let me just say, the reason I called is you were doing a great job, but they were really climbing up on you, and you were being too polite to call these people what they are, and that is a little bit, they are what we call apologists for incompetence, for fools, for liars, and for thieves.
Well,
I'm calling your president a thief, a liar, and an incompetent.
I don't like to get into name-calling, Bill.
I do, though. I love it.
I'll say that to Mike, and I'll say that to you. But anyway, I can understand your strong feelings about this. And
we need balance, Bob, because on the other side, you have Mike Savage, and you have Limbaugher, or whatever his name is, calling people names every day.
Well, yeah, but to call somebody like Richard Clark a weasel to me is way off.
Bob, here's what they mean by that. If you're not, Michael Z wants you to be personally loyal to the guy who brung you. He doesn't understand, Michael. You don't get it that you're supposed to be loyal to the country and to the truth before an evil person. Because you know what? Pat Buchanan is wrong about Deep Throat and Richard Nixon. Pat Buchanan thinks that Richard Nixon was supposed to get away with the crime of trying to steal elections in America. The best thing about America, the electoral system, has totally been corrupted by these people. And who's speaking up about it? You know, the press that you were saying was so liberal. You know, Michael, who's the biggest radio station owner in America today?
Queer Channel.
That's right. And are they liberals or are they conservatives?
I think they're conservatives, but
they are.
But they put Air America on a bunch of their stations.
And they also threw a band off the radio just for having an opinion. That's not American. That's un-American. And the fact is that when you have guys like Michael Powell in charge of the FCC, and Michael, you know this is true. That's why I want to hear you stand up for it. The media has totally been cowed by their need for wanting to get bigger and more powerful, and was not going to do anything to really stand in the way of this administration.
That's one thing I agree with you on.
There we go.
So the media is corporate, and anybody who thinks it's not corporate, and most of the corporations...
What does Frau Ogle want to say?
Like, what? One of the main big corporation executives usually supports the Republican Party, and that's a fact.
What does Frau Ogle want to say to Billy Sunshine?
Well, unfortunately, I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
She's not familiar with the truth. She can't interpret it.
But I would like to get once more briefly back to the media, and I strongly feel that somebody should have the guts or the clout to ask the various religious leaders of the Muslim countries, ask them just one question. Do they condone and or encourage the suicide bombers killing even their own Muslim brethren, all in the name of Allah and
I agree with
trying
Frau.
To confuse, subvert, and discourage us Americans
See?
Or our allies like...
She stopped you in your tracks, Bill.
Yeah, I know. I have to agree with her on that one. I agree.
Do the Muslim religious leaders have the right, and if so, do they admit of condoning secretly or overtly the suicide bombers killing their own Muslims against everything what the Quran...
I'll even raise the Frau one. I would ask them if they don't think, in fact, that we should prohibit being able to stand up in a mosque and say, let's kill all the Jews and all the...
Maybe she can't hear you. Frau Olga, Marila, can you hear Bill?
No, unfortunately I can't. I could understand Cal and Robert, but not a word of...
Well, no one can understand Bill. So.
You know, I understand. When people speak the truth, certain conservatives can't even hear it.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Bill. There goes Bill. Because no one can hear him. I don't understand why. But we do have Racist Harold up next, okay? So let's put him on. Okay, Racist Harold, you're on the air.
That the Ayatollahs and not the people of Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran are really to blame for the mess we are in. And so any religious fanaticism, whether it was the Crusade or the Hitler's horrible genocide, every religious fanaticism is dangerous.
I have to get in on this one if I can, Mike.
Okay.
One of the things I said earlier in the show is how do we go about reaching the Muslim community, the Islamic community?
Yeah.
Again, I'm going to be redundant. You start training people who know how to get understand the culture and infiltrate them. You start out by teaching them Arabic and Parsi, and you don't fire
right.
You don't fire a person or a person from the Army language school because they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And they know Arabic and Parsi and understand Islamic culture. That's one thing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's very well to say let's get to the mosque and the Islamic people. There's a methodology you have to do, and I don't think this administration has done that. That's what I understand all the reports have said.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about how we go about doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about being pragmatic for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm going to stick to what I said about the media. The media probably is not neutral, but what the media has done has left out a lot of things that have been going on. Many things have been going on in Iraq. And for the first time, we're beginning to see what's going on there. And a lot of people are beginning to object to it, regardless of their political persuasion.
Mm.
That's a good thing. We have a right to criticize the government. And by the way, those of us who oppose the war are not necessarily unpatriotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I can cite chapter and verse on that, too. I will support the troops till the day I die. I've always supported the troops.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I still support, as a matter of fact, You remember when we had the Navy ship controversy, Mike?
Yeah, you were at the forefront of that along with Hartman.
I entertained 50 sailors at my home when the ship pulled into Capitola. So I just want to get that out of the way.
Okay. Hey, we got a lot to cover, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move. By the way, here's an email. There's quite a number of emails that are coming in. I hope I get to read all of them. Mr. Z, I hope your guests will comment on what they think of actions now going on in the Gaza Strip, and that's from Jim Cotter. P.S., your technical difficulties seem to be hitting a new best today. Yes, they are. That's exactly right. Okay, hold that thought here, because I promised that we were going to do Kay's commentary.
I wish we could get Cal back on. I wasn't finished with him, but go ahead.
Well, you'll be able to put together the last few things that you wanted to say to him. But
I'd like to get into domestic issues, too, if we have time.
Okay. Well, we have to take a little break now, and we're also going to take a break for commercials afterwards. We will get to Jason in Watsonville, Dion in Soquel, Jim in Felton, and Racist Harold, even though, I guess you couldn't really hear that Harold was on here, so I put him back on hold.
No, I have no idea what he said.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put you on hold so you could hear people for sure as we do this in the future here. But for right now, we're going to do this. Wait a second. Right now, we are going to do this.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Along with the angst of daily tensions, now and then it's both comforting and energizing to pause and take stock of the good stuff. This warm, delicious tidbit has circulated since last January. Unknown. Ponder it and feel good. It's called Tequila and Salt. You may not realize it, but it's 100% true. There are at least two people in this world who would die for you. At least 15 people in this world love you in some way. The only reason anyone would ever hate you is because they want to be just like you. A smile from you can bring happiness to anyone, even if they don't like you. Every night, someone thinks about you before they go to sleep. You mean the world to someone. You are special and unique. Someone that you do not know even exists loves you. When you make the biggest mistake ever, something good comes from it. When you think the world has turned its back on you, take another look. Always remember the compliments you received. Forget the rude remarks. And always remember, when life hands you lemons, ask for tequila and salt. Now, don't you feel cherished? Go out and have a wonderful day. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Zwirling.
Okay, there we have it. Now, let's see. It's 11:35 on hour number two of the KSCO Saturday special. Let's put Jason in Watsonville on the air. Hey, Jason, you're on.
Hi, this is for, I think, Michael Z.
Yeah.
I heard you a few minutes ago call Richard Clark a weasel and then George Bush a great man.
He is a great man, and Richard Clark is a weasel. That's exactly right.
Well, I was wondering why you think George Bush is a great man, and I'm going to add a couple of things there to clarify that. But why do you think George Bush, after all the things that been happening since 2000?
What things? You mean 9/11?
Yeah, that's right. Why do you think George Bush is a great man?
Because he's very decisive, and he's a good president, and he's dealing with a problem. And it's a terrible problem, the likes of which we've never had before, right? I mean, you'll admit that, whether you like Bush or not, right?
Well, okay, here's the thing. You agree that on August, I think somewhere around August in 2001, that George Bush got a memo, I guess from the Secret Service, that Osama bin Laden was planning to hijack planes and crash them into, United States
civilians. Is that a fact, or are you one of these conspiracy people?
Oh, it is a fact.
It is a fact. No, is it a fact? I mean,
absolutely. It's a government memo.
Okay.
I
missed that, but go ahead. You're on. I'm listening to you.
Okay. If you're not aware of that, it's going to be kind of hard for me to get my point across. But let's just say that's true. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just say that is true.
Yes.
And that George Bush got a warning that Osama bin Laden was
planning to hijack planes and crash them into United States buildings, and he did not do anything about it. And more importantly, did you know that on the day of September 11th, that before he went into the classroom for the kids, he was already told that one plane had already crashed into a building. So he went into the classroom to read books to the kids, already knowing that.
Jason, I don't believe.
Let me finish.
I don't believe a word of what you're saying. However, if what you were saying is correct, I will publicly apologize to you. Okay, I don't believe a word that you're saying.
Okay, how are you going to convince yourself that what I'm saying is correct? I'll tell you what. There's going to be a very important meeting this Wednesday night at the Veterans Center from 7:30 to 10. It's put on by the Santa Cruz 911 Truth Coalition, and I actually invite you to come down there. And there's going to be a very, very well-informed presenter there explaining the case that for government foreknowledge of 911. And so I invite you.
Veterans Center where?
The Veterans Center in Santa Cruz on Pacific Avenue.
Oh, okay. What time?
And you know what? You're being very, very cool about this. You're not denying it.
I want the truth. I want the truth. If the truth is that weasel is a Bush. I mean, Bush is a weasel. Then I want to know that too.
Okay.
I don't think it's true, but
okay.
I'm open to it.
Well, good. Then you're the kind of people that it's very important to look at this information. At least you're open minded to it, because there's a lot of people who are just very close.
Tell me about it, Jason. I've been getting a lot of them on the voicemail at 429-2222. The people who call and say, I've been listening to your station for forever, and now that you have Air America on that treasonous liberal radio network on KOMY, I'm not going to listen to KOMY or KSCO anymore. I mean, you'd be amazed at how many of those kinds of people there are out there. And
yeah.
And to those people, I say adios, because you're not KSCO caliber listeners anyhow. Because you don't have any intelligence. You have to be an intelligent person to listen to KSCO. And, theoretically, you have to be an intelligent person to listen to KOMY, but we are waiving that for a while, for the time being, anyhow, until we get the program up and running. Anyhow,
yeah.
Thanks very much for your call. Do send me an email, mz@ksco.com, reminding me about that. And I may well turn up. I may well show up at that event, okay?
That's mz@ksco.com?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason, in Watsonville. Now, let's go back to, real quickly, before we go back to our guests, and we did have the Kagas commentary. I hope it was heard, because it wasn't very loud. Okay, here's an email from our good friend, it says here, Michael, Bob needs to go back to school and learn a thing or two about what is happening today, as opposed to back in the Truman days. He longs so much for. He is wrong about so many things. I don't know where to start, so I think I'll go and have a coffee. Now, that's signed Ellie, none other than our own Ellie Kramer, or our fill-in talk show host, Ellie Kramer. Bob,
yeah.
What do you have to say to Ellie?
Before I answer Ellie, what was the time and place for that thing at the Veterans Building? You have that? I didn't.
No, he'll call back on the business line, and we'll put it out or something. I think it's probably 7 o'clock or something. But anyhow, yeah. You know what? Ellie says you're wrong about so many things that he doesn't know where to start. It's like, it reminds me of the hippies who used to visit my father, the optometrist on Pacific Avenue Garden Mall, when he would say something. He'd say, "Man, don't you know where it's at?" And Dad would say, "No, man, tell me where it's at." And he says, "Man, like, if you don't know where it's at, man, I mean, like, I can't tell you." I mean, that's what this thing from Ellie reminds me of. But what do you think?
Well, Ellie's making me dab at my eyes. I don't know what to say.
Anyhow, Ellie, if you want to either call in and engage in a conversation with Bob, we welcome you to do so. You know the phone number. And if you want to write a follow-up email, I will read it in its entirety, even though we only have 19 or 18 minutes left. That's one email. Now let's go to another email, okay, that's been waiting in the wings. This is from Cyril Vitomsky, who has some questions for you. Since Bob Lissner is concerned with setbacks of women's rights in Iraq, here is a question. It is quite likely that if the U.S. stayed under the British rule, slavery would have been outlawed. Knowing that U.S. independence most likely caused slavery to last for almost a century longer, would he also now, with this hindsight, regret the independence of the U.S.? And that's from Cyril. What do you say, Bob?
Well, during the in order for the Constitution to be ratified, they had to come up with a three-fifths clause, which had counted blacks as three-fifths of a person for purposes of voting. And what the framers of the Constitution did, they postponed the existence of slavery until 1860, when we fought the Civil War. You had several instances where slavery was compromised. First of all, you had the Missouri Compromise, which allowed slavery below the 36-30 parallel, and then you had the Compromise of 1850, which allowed for fugitive slave law. It was a series of compromises. You had people like Henry Clay and Daniel Webster, who over a period of years tried to postpone the inevitable irrepressible conflict. So I hope we can learn from our own mistakes and our own compromises during that period. I'd like to think that we learned a little bit more since the 19th century, which is the 21st century, and we can profit from history. Those who forget history are doomed to relive its consequences, or words to that effect. So if you want to talk about the history of slavery in this country...
That's another topic for another program.
That's another topic, and of course I'd be glad to talk to Cyril about this if he wants to call me. And if Ellie wants to call me on my individual phone sometime, I'll talk to him.
Yeah, what's your individual phone number?
Look it up in the phone book, or he can call information. I'm not going to give it over the air.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to talk to Ellie. All he has to do is call me, and all Cyril has to do is call me. That's a long
Both time. Of those guys will call you all the time. They call you names.
And so they don't call me late for dinner.
And it's not very nice. Now, here's an uncomplimentary email from rodrocket@aol.com. Mike, thank God for your callers. I would have turned off that old goat long ago, and I don't mean your aunt, PK. Now, is that a nice thing to say, PK? If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Okay, if you want to email me, it's mz@ksco.com. If it's during the program, which is only 15 minutes remaining here, I will do my best to read it. Oh, here's an email that just came in from RV Lifts of America regarding intelligent people. Did you hear the allegations your last caller made about Bush's supposed knowledge of 9/11 airplane attacks? Is this guy intelligent? No one fact to back up his allegations, and you let him get away with it. Shame on you. With all your investigations, with all the investigations, including the 9/11 Commission hearings, does this guy really know something the rest of the world doesn't? I don't think so. Don't waste your time going to this meeting with the crazy people. And it's signed Jim Hogg from RV Lifts and Tire Center, 877-238-2548. And the website is www.rvlifts.com.
Could I say something?
Yes.
All these people that are criticizing myself and Billy Sunshine, nobody brings up the point that several retired military people have come out against our involvement in Iraq, which I've mentioned earlier, but know a hell of a lot more than I do. And it's one thing to refer to get into name-calling, which doesn't bother me very much because I've been called names by experts. But what people should do is do their research before they take these broad swipes, generalizations, oversimplifications, and half-truths.
Well, Jim Hogg, the last emailer, did not call me a name, but he did say, shame on you. And that's almost as bad as calling me a name. And all I'm saying, is he saying shame on me because I'm willing to have an open mind and listen? I mean, I wonder if Jim Hogg believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
Well, let's not get into conspiracy.
No, I mean, you understand what I'm saying, Bob? I mean, I don't believe for one second that the government's line on the Kennedy assassination is the truth. And did you say you don't either?
Yeah, you're preaching to the converted when you talk about that. But that's another subject.
So I'm willing to listen to someone who says, "Hey, maybe Bin Laden is not really the guy behind the 9/11 attacks." I'm willing to listen. No, I'm not willing to write him off, just dismiss him as a nutcase like Jim Hogg is. I'm willing to listen. And I guess there are very few people left like me left in the world. That's one thing I found. I'm sorry, I don't mean to digress here, but...
And don't.
But wait a minute. But it's my radio show, and by the way, it's my radio station, so I'm going to. This is one of the things that I found in the last few months during this whole Air America negotiation where we finally decided to turn KOMY into at least somewhat of a left-wing radio station with 6 hours of Air America programming. I always thought that it would be nice to have both sides represented on one station. And guess what? People don't want that. They want one or the other. They want to listen to preaching to the choir. They don't want to listen to the other side. I think that's so sad. That's why our country is so bleeped up, to tell you the truth, because people are so damn rigid.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. They're too
and I think Hogg is this guy who sent me the email personifies that whole thing. I mean, it's such a perfect example of people who are so damned rigid in their thinking and close-minded that they actually chide a guy like me for being willing to be open-minded and giving a forum to both sides.
Yeah,
I'll
give you that. You've been open-minded about bringing Air America. Can I bring up a domestic issue?
Yes. You mean involving your marriage? I don't think anybody cares, Bob.
Oh, okay.
But if other kinds of domestic issues, possibly.
That's a funny one. My domestic issues. I just caught on to that. Uh-huh. Okay. I happened to hear the President and Senator Frist this morning talking about the whole idea of intelligent design and objecting to the teaching of evolution in science classes. What do you think about that, Holly?
Oh, I think it's an excellent idea, and I think it's an excellent idea for a Saturday special. We did a program on creationism with a guy, probably 10 years ago. It was one of the really most popular programs.
Well, I think
we had.
They ought to keep creationism out of science class. So they want to discuss it in a philosophy class or a sociology class, something like that.
Science is science.
It's kept out of the classroom, and this is one of the things.
Separation. It's separation, separate but equal. Sort of like segregation, huh?
I don't know about that.
Well,
anyway, keep science.
What do you think? I mean, you're advocating segregation here, Bob.
I'm advocating segregation.
It doesn't sounds like that to me.
I'm just saying, keep creationism out of the class, out of the science class, and discuss it in another class.
All right. It's not nice to have.
It's one of the other thing I want to bring up, based upon time constraints. There's a couple of things in the Patriot Act that bother me. The fact that the government, maybe through a what do you call it? A court order can get into your bank account, your medical records, and other types of private matters. What do you think about that?
I'm sorry. I was reading Jim Hogg's follow-up email to me. Forgive me, Bob. Patriot Act?
Not all of it. Some of it. The fact that they can get into your bank account, your medical records, and check on which books.
They could do that if they suspect. They've always been able to do that if they suspect you've been cheating the IRS.
Well, that's another matter. That has to do with an economic and financial.
I don't think anything's changed, Bob. I really don't.
That's not a good idea either.
I asked Quinn. I asked Quinn if what purpose the government would have on bringing its own buildings down, and he said to have a good excuse for the Patriot Act.
Well, one of the things I want to mention about the Patriot Act is the fact that it's probably, and I'm not going to say it's unconstitutional, but it's probably unconstitutional based upon an old case involving Connecticut. Griswold versus Connecticut, I believe, in 1965. That violates both the Fourth Amendment and the Ninth Amendment in Judge Listener's opinion. You know what the Ninth Amendment says?
No. I forgot. I used to know.
Just because something isn't in the first 8 amendments to the Bill of Rights doesn't mean that you should exclude it.
Right.
The enumeration of certain powers within this article is not intended to eliminate or disparage others. So I would say that if you're not going to rely on the Fourth Amendment, which is the right to privacy, which never mentions privacy, you can rely on the Ninth Amendment, which I like to call the elastic clause of the Bill of Rights.
What's the 16th Amendment?
The direct election, the 16th Amendment is the income tax amendment.
That's what I thought, and I think it should be abolished. What do you think?
It's the way it's administered, which is, it might be abolished. I don't like the IRS coming after me any more than anybody else does. But from my standpoint, the greatest threat to taxation is the federal government, it's the local government, the property tax.
Okay.
Which affects me
we do
the income tax. But the point is if you want to abolish the 16th Amendment, that would take another constitutional amendment. If you want to spend time working on that, contact Sam Farr, Diane Feinstein, or Barbara Boxer.
Isn't Sam Farr still your congressman?
No. I was redistricting into Anna Issue's district.
Oh.
Well, anyway, I hope I've answered your question about the income tax. Maybe you want to get to some of the other callers that have been waiting.
Yes, like poor racist Harold. Here comes racist Harold. Go ahead, Harold, you're on.
Hello.
Hi. We got to make it quick. I'm sorry, because we have a commercial break and four more callers and only 8 minutes.
I get this all the time. I need 1 minute.
Okay.
Okay, this is Bill of Rights Defender, Porous Border Concern, Harold. Just call me Billy Ghost Gruff, if you remember your second or third grade.
That's okay. Okay, I do.
Okay. Okay, I have something for you, Bob. You're in illusion that we're a republic, a democratic republic. We've been an empire for a long time. When you're an empire, you go beyond your borders and you steal or you take commodities your country needs to expand and defend itself. So we've been doing that for a long time. We have people called globalists that are in it for profit. They're much stronger than the Democratic or Republican Party, calling the tune of both parties. So a tip-off, usually they're hidden, but a little tip-off in this one is the Halliburton contract that went to Bush's friends in Iraq. That's obvious. Okay, I supported Bush to a certain point. Once elections were held, once Saddam was deposed, you should be out within a year. Do not let anybody tell you to go through this one door. You change your tactics all the time. Any good general would. Okay, I think Bush should show his might. You have the most powerful army in the world. You should go down and seize the Saudi oil fields, seize the Venezuela oil fields. Tell the Sunni Muslims to quit bombing our troops, or we'll bomb Mecca, Medina, or the Muslim temple in Jerusalem.
With a big one or not with a big one?
You don't have to. A B-52.
Okay.
You don't need a nuclear weapon. Just
all right. No one's answered my question, by the way. I think we're going to have to do a whole separate program on that. What it would take to drop the big one.
Okay. And one more. You got to remember there's one.
That would be insane, but go ahead.
You mean to even do the program?
No. Drop the
okay.
Or,
all right. Anyhow,
World War II.
We lost Harold, but it's okay because the phone line was horrible. He'll call back next week, I'm sure. Let's go to Millie in Rio Del Mar. You got to make this pretty quick, Millie. You're on.
I'm making it really quick.
Yeah.
This is for Senor Hogg, who called in a while ago. Please give us your cave address, Mr. Hogg. The August 8th memo warning that we could expect hijacked planes ramming buildings at 9/11, Bush ignored this totally against the advice of all the intelligence.
Now, how do you know this?
The proof of the memo is public information record, Mr. Hogg, and all of this was stated clearly at the 9/11 hearings 18 months ago.
Okay, there is a follow-up email from him, Millie. Let me read it real fast. It's short. I said shame on you, MZ, because you did not ask for one single fact to prove his allegations. I am not closed-minded. Simply show me the facts. None of the investigations conducted so far have come close to proving any of these conspiracy theories, and that's from Jim Hogg. I would say, Jim, you should attend this thing on this meeting on Wednesday night, and maybe they'll show you the facts, unless you don't want to see them.
He doesn't want to hear them, Michael.
Okay. All right.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. There goes Millie. Here comes Jim in Felton. Hello, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, you know, your show is terrific. I love it, and it's a perfect example of, why we need the First Amendment. And
yes.
So what I want to say was that we should not pull out of Iraq, because what we're really doing right now is we're enabling the birth of a democratic republic where one didn't exist before. And people could say all they want, but for me, the ultimate fact is the fact that all those people came out to vote, even with all the IEDs and the exploding cars and the threats of death and the slitting of throats.
Okay.
And my allegiance is not to any party, but to the Constitution. And it's all right there in the, you know, the Declaration of Independence. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people have these unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then we propose to enumerate them in the Bill of Rights.
Right.
And that's what we should give.
Okay. Hey, Jim, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Hey, Michael, you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Are there commercials, but you can kill the promos?
Yeah, we got 2.5 minutes of normal.
Okay, you know, maybe you can do that during the break or something, because is that okay, or should we just do it now?
I don't mind waiting until the top.
Okay, well, let's hear from Frau Ogle again and thank her for being with us. Is there anything you wanted to add? Because we put you on hold so you could hear everybody.
Very briefly, I was very disappointed waiting for 2 hours that somebody would have the guts to touch upon the Gaza Strip tragedy. And my other bête noire is, of course, the obscenely misnamed Patriot Act, and I want to thank Robert listeners to at least touch upon that. I have attended countless meetings. We are very, very vigorously opposed here in Milpitas to it, and I would like to have an entire Saturday show on these two terrible subjects, the Gaza Strip evacuation.
I think we're doing that next week. I believe we're doing that next week, but I'm not positive, but we'll check on that and let you know.
The Patriot Act, like I said, is obscenely misnamed, almost callous, like a lively death. It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a patriotic thing severely curtailing all our freedoms. And so that was my parting salvo. And
I couldn't agree with you more. What about you, Bob?
Bye-bye.
There goes Frau Ogle. What did you think of that, Bob?
I didn't quite understand everything she said, but if she's talking about freedom and liberties, I certainly agree with her, and we should have a program on the Patriot Act. I would like that very much. I just don't want somebody getting into my bank account, my medical records, and checking on what I read. If that's what it contains, even to start up about that, this is undesirable.
Right. Well, now who can argue
with
that?
You wouldn't want that either, Mike.
Right. I certainly wouldn't, Bob. But anyhow, so look, that's it for the show. Thanks for being with us. Really enjoyed the opportunity to spend some time with you on the air. And this program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight on AM 1080 KSCO or on demand on the internet at SaturdaySpecial.com.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz.
Here's the bad news. Credit card companies
considering a mechanic strike, union workers walking out upset over proposed pay and staff cuts. Fox's Steve Brown at Northwest headquarters in Eagan, Minnesota.
A tax-deductible mortgage loan, even if your credit rating is low. Hi.